Today's episode of the Be Our Guest podcast is proudly sponsored by the great folks over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go WDW. Days to Go lets you count down the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. And by Theme Park News Disney Edition. This is your source for both official and unofficial Disney Parks news for your Apple device. It is a free app, so drop by and grab this app as well as many others that's going to make your Apple device a Disney device over at virtualmickey.com. Don't forget to stick around for the end of today's show for your chance to win one of three Disney gift cards, courtesy of our friends over at virtualmickey.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 893 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Wednesday to you. Hopefully this, month of August, it's here. I can't believe it. We go back to school. Teachers go
back tomorrow.
I know. It stinks,
Mike's
man. This is it.
Just school.
This is the last day of summer for me, so we'll be back. But of course, you know, I don't put in too much hard work until the kids get back because
this is my
17th year of teaching, you know, so it's like I've been through this dog and pony show before, so I just got to be there and get ready for another school year. And, summer was fun. I can't complain, but man, did it go quickly. Mm-hmm. But we're going to, you know, as we do here on a Wednesday, answer some listener questions. Now, I am a little concerned because, we have our brothers out to the west, out in Kansas City, Wedway Radio, Nate and Matt, and we know that their team that they ride or die with is the Kansas City Royals, and Ricky and Pam, I know you're not huge baseball fans, but this team, man, I've really, enjoyed them and liked that they've come back and, been a force. They were in the World Series last year. I'd love to play them in the World Series this October, and Cardinals and Royals would be like 85 again. But, man, this team throws at everybody. I don't know if you saw this weekend. They're throwing at these Blue Jays players, and they have some crazy baseball players. So I just hope that doesn't rub off on Wedway Radio. I'm scared, like, if I say anything about Wedway Radio, I might get one high and tight here on a Wednesday, and just, get pushed off the plate.
I saw they, denied you in the trade deadline. So,
yeah,
it was close. Was it the steroids, Mike?
Steroids. It's alleged. I've bulked up so much.
The alleged steroids, I should say. Yeah.
Nothing has been proven.
That's right. No. Remember, Sammy Sosa got very skinny there after all that stuff went down. He was gigantic, and I was gigantic on the second podcast cruise. So who knows? But anyway, let's answer some listener questions. So joining me today from touringplans.com over at the Mouse for Less, you can read some great blogs over there, as well as at DisneyWorldAfterAll.com. We have Ricky. Happy Wednesday, Ricky.
Happy Wednesday to you, Mike. I am sorry you wrecked school, but, I can't be too terribly upset because, I've had to work all summer, so, minus vacation, but still.
I got to pay off that cruise. We had a good time, but the bill is now due.
That is true.
So it's back to the kids. That's right. How it works around here. All right, also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. What's going on, Pam?
Happy Monday.
Wednesday. How about Wednesday?
Oh my gosh, why do I even think it's Monday?
I don't know why you would think that.
This is why things have gone off the rails already. Yes, happy Wednesday, even.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
He goes back to school next week. Oh. She has to go a little early because she's a CA, but I mean, she's still, not that much. It's just weird. Summer really did just
fly by. There
are schools
around here in Georgia that are back in school already, and I'm sitting here going, I think their first day of school was like July 31st, and I'm like, what the heck? It's still July. Why are we not? Why are we not in summer still? This is terrible.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's awful. Awful, starting so soon. But.
So, now, Pam, you're up in Pittsburgh. What time are, for your public schools, when do they go back in that part of the country?
So, they go back like the end of August, typically. Sometimes the week of Labor Day. They start sometimes that Wednesday or sometimes the week before. So, it seems kind of weird to do that, but that's the way they do it. So, anyways, we can't go back super early because most of the schools here don't have air conditioning.
That's true.
So I know that the schools down south do, and that makes it easier. I wish that our schools here would have year-long school. Oh, I wish so bad.
Don't say that. Don't say that.
I'm saying it. I'm saying it. It would be easier for everybody to take vacations.
No, no. I like my summers. Oh, stop it. Stop it. Yeah, we used to not have air conditioning up here, and I had like 8 fans. I had the perfect like wind tunnel in my room.
I remember those days. I was in school those days when you didn't have air conditioning.
We didn't have it my first few years of teaching, but fortunately we do now. All right. Well, you're here for some listener questions.
Yeah, not school. This isn't the school.
It
isn't.
Yeah, that'll be tomorrow. As I'm sitting there watching all these videos that we have to watch. Nobody pays attention to them, but you have to check a box that says you watched it, you know, so you don't get in trouble. But yeah, that's the fun that'll start in about 24 hours. All right, take two, and let's get to the first listener question of the day. And it's the first question that we haven't read on a previous episode. Man, I got to get these things all lined up here. And it comes from Dominic up in Pennsylvania. And he says, Mike and the gang, first of all, I love your podcast. Thanks for everything you do. My wife and I are both teachers, and we have 3 young boys, ages 9, 6, and almost 2. For a long time, we've talked about how we can take advantage of one of the greatest benefits of being a family of teachers, summers off. See, Pam, like it's not just me, like, you know, that's how it is. The summer's off. We started brainstorming and came up with the idea of renting a place in the Disney area for a whole month. So this summer, we are renting a townhome in Windsor Hills for the entire month of July. We are from a suburb of Philadelphia. So we'll be driving down. We are Disney veterans. We go annually, and we're already armed with our annual passes. Additionally, we have other theme parks already booked, including a one-night stay on property at Universal to take advantage of the included express pass, a day trip to Legoland, and a possible trip to SeaWorld. There are some other sites that we have on our list, such as the ocean, the coast, and the Gulf Coast. Besides all of our planned events, our biggest goal is to be able to relax and live like locals for a month. That's not to say we won't have our occasional commando park days, but for the most part, we'd like to weave in and out of the parks at our leisure. So here's the question. If you were to spend a month in the Disney area, what would you do that was outside the box? Not just additional tourist spots, but maybe even ways you would use the theme parks differently. For example, my oldest son is interested in Imagineering. It's probably the teacher in me, but I thought of the idea of coming up with some Imagineering lesson plans where we'd go to the park and he'd have to complete a particular activity that would tie Imagineering to that park. We'd also like to consider a 4 parks in 1 day challenge, since that's something we likely wouldn't do during one of our regular trips. So, what do you think? Any ideas? And again, Dominic's up in Pennsylvania. So living like a local, going down for a month, you know, and if you had the time, Pam, is this something you would like to do at some point?
I think, but I'd like to live like a local, like in February, not like, you know, in the summer. I mean, but I, you know, we never get enough, no matter how often we go. I always feel like not only are there different things to do, but there are different ways to vacation. And I think this is a little bit about what he's getting to, but I will say on our last trip, we spent an inordinate amount of time laying by the pool and reading. And that was really because of special circumstances, because Steve couldn't really get around as well as he typically is. But I will say that it was just a completely different kind of vacation. And I knew this going in, so we stayed specifically at the Yacht and Beach Club because it does have one of the best pools on Disney property. So, I mean, I think thinking like this before you go is an awesome way, though, to start framing your vacation. And there's lots of things I would like to do that Disney has available. I know we mention these all the time because they're so wonderful, but I just wanted to say it again. There's some wonderful tours that I would really like to do. And I always think those are great to do. And they come out with new tours all the time, which I think is also really cool. So that's something I would do. But I think, though, another thing that's really worth doing if you have the time is to spend some time really checking out each of the resorts. Each one of them has something really specific to offer. And we've talked about the culinary tour at Animal Kingdom Lodge. But I think that there are other resorts just like that one that have similar tours, like the Wilderness Lodge has a great tour. But again, you could spend time looking at all the displays about the Grand Canyon, and that big fireplace in the lobby is taken from the Grand Canyon. Each layer corresponds to a layer with the Grand Canyon, and if you go on each level of the resort, there's actually a little display that talks about this, talks about that specific layer of rock, whatnot. And I think that would be super educational, but really, really fun. I mean, what a better way to put that concept into something that kids could really understand and embrace.
I like that idea of, you know, staying outside the parks and exploring, you know, all the other things around property. But if I was going down for a month and staying offsite in a rental property, like a rental house, one of the areas I would find myself drawn to would be the Cocoa Beach Space Coast area.
Yeah.
Even though it's about 45 minutes away from Walt Disney World, it's an easy drive. And I know that I spent a few Christmas vacations when we were off from school down in the Titusville area. And I really love that area. There's a lot of history there. I would, you know, look around the Cocoa Beach Surf Shop there, the Ron Johns. I've stayed in the hotel there for a night, the La Quinta that the Mercury astronauts used to own. If you jog there, there's an area where they used to film I Dream of Jeannie. Of course, the Kennedy Space Center with the new Atlantis exhibit. I'd be over there a lot. They offer some great tours, lots of history there. And one of my favorite restaurants in Florida, which I don't even know if I've ever mentioned here on the podcast, is called, oh man, I was going to say Dixieland. It's called Dixie Crossroads, and they have what's called rock shrimp, and it's like their signature thing, but it's a gigantic restaurant in Titusville, and I've been there many, many times, and you know, I even saw a Space Shuttle Discovery fly over on its landing approach one time. But yeah, just hanging out in Titusville, it's got that old 60s Space Coast feel to it. But the Space Coast is where I'd be. I'd be checking out, you know, there's living history there still. Some of the stuff's around from the space era. So if you were to go down for a month, Ricky, what would your plans entail?
Oh, my gosh. You know, there's just so much in the Orlando area to discover and explore. Oh, man. You know, one of Brian and my favorite things to, you know, you kind of mentioned going to the Cocoa Beach area. One of the things that Brian and I have done, because Brian was really attached to Daytona, because, you know, he was a NASCAR guy. So but we would always go up to, well, not always, but we would sometimes go up to Daytona. But they have this, like, flea market thing. But it's not like your traditional, like, flea market. It's more like an open-air market. They sell a lot of, you know, junk and stuff like that. But they also sell, like, fresh fruit and stuff like that, too. So we like to go up there and really explore what knickknacks and stuff like that that we can, you know, bring home or, you know, just look at. And as far as, like, oh man, other things to do in Orlando, there's just really so much. You know, there's the kitschy things like Old Town, which is totally, you know, ridiculous in its own right, but so much fun and something that I remember doing as a kid. And there's, you know, just exploring, you know, iDrive and all that has to offer. You know, sometimes, you know, there's things like, you know, Ripley's, Believe It or Not, or Wonderworks, or, you know, all those kind of things. Or there's the new Madame Tussauds, you know, Wax Museum and the Orlando Eye. You could do stuff like that.
What about like going to stores like Theme Park Connection? I've always wanted to do that, but never squeezed
definitely.
It in. Yeah,
definitely. Or the Disney store outlets too, because, you know, you're going to be wanting to buy souvenirs. So what better way to buy souvenirs than souvenirs that are at a ridiculously reduced price? Yay!
For 2012. That's your 2012 sweatshirt for July of 2015.
Right? Yeah, exactly. I think they have a little more updated merchandise than that, but you're kind of close. So, and man, there's tons of great restaurants. You know, one of my favorites is Giordano's, which, you know, I usually go to every other trip or something like that. It's deep dish Chicago style pizza. And, you know, it's just, oh, there's so much to do. I love to explore the Orlando area. It's getting close to feeling, I mean, it really does feel like a second home for me. I'm learning the area still a lot more because obviously I drive around down there a lot more, staying with my brother and staying off site. So, you know, I learn a lot more about the Orlando area, but those are kind of things that I would do outside of theme parks. Two suggestions, that I had for extra things. One was, you know, they talked about doing the four parks in one day. They can also throw in that four, what Amy did that, the four, you know, unique food options in each, yep, you know, one in each of the parks. I think that that's a really good idea. And then one of my bloggers actually did this a while back for the Mouse for Less, and you can search for it. They did, it was called Around the World in 85 $85 or something like that. And what they did is they gave their daughter $85 to spend. And, you know, she went around and had to, you know, figure out what she wanted. One thing from each country, but she only had $85 to spend total. So I think that that's kind of a unique thing as well. You know, it can work for all ages. You know, it doesn't matter what the age. You could do that as an adult. You know, you say, okay, this is the amount of money that I have to spend. I'm going to have to stop at one thing in each country and have to buy something and make sure that I still have money left or don't, you know, go completely over the budget.
So. Well, $85 for 11 countries, boy, that's not much. You'd have to be frugal.
She did it, though. Yeah. Their daughter did it. It was actually Scott and Elizabeth. And so,
oh, nice.
Yeah. So their daughter actually accomplished it, which is pretty awesome for her. She managed to get, you know, one thing in each country, and I think she still had just a little money left over. So
that'd be Mallory. She's tight.
Yeah, exactly. So.
All right, we'll have to check that blog out, and good luck. Hope you guys had a good time. It's August now, so back to school time, I guess, for everybody. But definitely write in, give us a follow up. I'm sure everybody would love to know how it went and what you guys decided to do living like locals. I think everybody has a, you know, desire to wonder what it's like. So I like the idea. All right. Next question comes from Vicky Wells over in the United Kingdom. Says, Mike and whoever else is there today. So Ricky and Pam are here with me today.
Hola.
There you go. I recently saw a photo of a Walt Disney World Hotel bus stop of a screen showing when buses were due to arrive. This was taken at Kidani Village. Are there screens at any other resorts or is there a possibility of them being used resort wide? Seems like a brilliant idea. Thanks for all you do, Vicky. And I know that Ricky, I was actually... Vicky, Ricky, this sounds like it's a Dr. Seuss novel or something, but, you know, I was reading actually on a Theme Park News Disney Edition, you know, I have it right there next to my site, that they just added these to the bus stop at the Contemporary this past weekend.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. I was at the Contemporary, and I had heard something about those, but I hadn't seen anything, you know, lately about any of them being put in. I saw them about a couple months ago. Somebody said, oh, yeah, there's one being put in, and I don't remember where it was. And then we were at the Contemporary, and I saw the exact one, and I didn't think that it was new at that point because I'd seen, you know, like I said, I'd seen that they were being put in. So it was fantastic and almost exactly on the money, too, which was so great. I can tell you that at the time that I was there, they did not have one at Beach Club yet because we were waiting and waiting and waiting for a bus to get to Downtown Disney. And yeah, that took forever and we didn't have any clue on when the bus was showing up. So it's not rolled out at all the resorts yet, but they are slowly working it out. But it does more or less work when they do. So it was pretty fantastic. I loved it at the Contemporary.
I mean, we saw them at both Animal Kingdom Lodge and Riverside while we were there catching the buses. But I'll tell you what, nobody pays attention to those things. I don't think they're very accurate for one thing. And
oh, ours was completely accurate.
It was?
100%. 100%.
Uh-huh. Really? Yeah. I didn't see mine as being as accurate as I was expecting.
It was it was within 1 minute, I should say that. So it was, okay, 99%. But it was almost directly on the money. And I was watching all the other buses, too. And all of them showed up right on time. Absolutely. 100% worked. So, 99% worked.
Pam, what do you think about these screens? I mean, I've heard rumor that, you know, this stuff might go directly to the My Disney Experience mobile app because it's more, you know, it's easier for Disney to push out that you have it right there in your smart device. But, I mean, not everybody's got a device in front of them. You know, is this something that you think will happen resort-wide? Because it's almost there, I guess.
I do. Yeah, I do. And I think that they have been working to make them more accurate. At times you will see cast members there who will assist with this as well, and they're compiling data, right? Always compiling data. But it's nice to see. I think that if you give people an expectation, then it's easier for them to wait than not. I think that sometimes the waiting, like, you have no idea. Did you just miss a bus, or is one like 5 minutes away, or whatever? I think that that's really providing guests with the information that they want to know.
I agree, and I think they're a good idea. And I'm glad to hear that they are accurate, because I was just thinking, it's not very accurate, so I wasn't paying attention. But maybe I was just having a bad day. Who knows? That happens. All right, next question comes from Courtney, and she's in Lexington, Kentucky. She says, hey, Mike and the girls, I've been helping to plan a first trip for a friend. We are going the week after Christmas, and I'm trying to determine which parks to go to on which day. As a former cast member, I have only been working during New Year's Eve at Walt Disney World. Which park would you suggest for New Year's Eve for the fireworks? Also, what restaurant would you suggest for a first-time guest? There will be a 6-year-old girl and a 9-year-old boy. I would appreciate any suggestions. I love your show and positive outlook on Walt Disney World. Thanks, Courtney. All right, so park to be in for New Year's Eve, and then let's come up with a great first-timer restaurant. The total package, 6-year-old girl and a 9-year-old boy. So, Ricky, let's do the park first. Of course, I'm going to say New Year's Eve, there's nothing like Epcot, the Illuminations tag. I like the way they bring it in, and they talk about when each country around a world showcase brought in the new year, because they'll say, you know, at 5 o'clock tonight, the folks in China brought in 2016, you know, and they go around and kind of show the difference in the time zone. So that's my pick. What about you, Ricky, for the park for New Year's Eve to be in?
Oh, man. You know, if it was me, and if I was the one who was celebrating New Year's Eve, it would be Epcot. I think it's just it's a much more of a party atmosphere. So if that's kind of what you're going for, because it is New Year's Eve and New Year's Eve is kind of a party, so that's why I would choose Epcot. I've always seen, you know, everybody seems to have a really good time and a lot of fun on New Year's Eve there. If you're looking for not as crowded, I don't think that Epcot will be super. Supremely crowded. I mean, it'll be crowded.
It'll be in Roundhouse. I've been there twice.
But yeah, that's true. But I would say Disney's Hollywood Studios, they will have fireworks as well. So that's something to consider if you're not looking for extremely crowded. And then if you don't care about fireworks at all, then go to Animal Kingdom. I just took one of everything on that one. I pulled a Pam and totally cheated. So
don't go to Animal Kingdom because it's New Year's Eve. You got to have fireworks.
I know it's not the same, but if you're, you know, if you don't want to avoid crowds altogether, then that's where I would go. So, I mean, I personally wouldn't go there. I would absolutely
want to avoid crowds and fun.
Yeah
exactly. I personally would go to Epcot. Actually, Brian and I were seriously talking about this yesterday. You know, he's like, you know, when we live down in Florida, I can't wait to go to Epcot for New Year's Eve, which I thought was just funny. I didn't prompt him on that at all. That was totally one of his own things. So I love my husband. He totally comes up with gems on his own. It's fantastic. So
you could go to Animal Kingdom, though, because it wouldn't be as crowded that day and then hop over, because Epcot usually doesn't close for capacity. I mean, you just got to... You're not going to get a spot on the rail for Illuminations, but, you know,
right.
I'm sure that park is pretty low crowds on New Year's Eve day, you know, because people aren't thinking about going there because there's no fireworks at night.
Exactly.
All right, Pam, what would you do for the park for New Year's Eve for the fireworks?
I mean, I'm going to Epcot because we try to see the fireworks for the 30th at the Magic Kingdom so that we can see the New Year's Eve show. And then I really enjoy going to Epcot for the fireworks for the reason that Mike and Ricky have both said, that you can walk in there and still see them. It's just a good time, and I just don't feel quite as claustrophobic there. So, yeah. I mean, that is sometimes critical when we're talking about being there during that week, because it is so busy. At some point, you get to the point where you're like, I just don't want anyone else touching me or being near me.
Right. Exactly.
So it happens. So anyways, you know, that's where I would go. But, you know, I think that the Magic Kingdom is another good alternative just because there's no drinking there, so you won't see some of the partying, some of the out-of-hand partying. Now, I'm not saying it's out-of-hand like, you know, some places are. Just if you want to avoid that whole scene altogether, then Magic Kingdom may be the place you want to go because there is no drinking at all there. And then I'll pull a Pam, too, and say the cool thing about Hollywood Studios, and this was more so in past years when they didn't have all the fireworks shows available at Hollywood Studios like they do now. But there's something really cool about seeing the fireworks at Hollywood Studios, I think, that it's just such a rarity at this point. And even so, most people aren't able to get there for the Frozen fireworks or the Star Wars fireworks.
Right.
That I really still enjoy that, and I think it has its pluses, too. So,
all right, so see you at Epcot, and Seacrest is not in Epcot, just for the record. You know, he's on ABC's Rockin' New Year's Eve.
Yes.
Thinking about Dick Clark. I don't know what they call it anymore. Anyway, let's see. So one restaurant for a 6-year-old girl and a 9-year-old boy, first-time visitors. Here's one. Again, it's a new one for me. The Ohana Breakfast. I think it's got great food. If your kids are kind of picky at all, there's lots of just safe, good really good family style breakfast foods brought to your table. They have some rolls and sticky buns and stuff like that that come around as well. You got great characters, Mickey, Lilo and Stitch and Pluto, and you get to ride the monorail over to the Polynesian. I think it's really a great way to show off what Walt Disney World's all about. And you're at the Polynesian Resort, which is beautiful and lots to do there itself. So, Pam, what would you offer up? I got Ohana for breakfast. What about you?
I love the idea of a good breakfast at Disney, and one that appeals to the kids. I think there are so many great choices, but I, you know, can't help thinking that 1900 Park Fair is often overlooked, and so much fun, just really has some great characters, so many good choices to eat there. Plus, then if you go for breakfast, you would be starting your day there, and you all look fresh for your photos, unlike Mike and I, yes, who were there after our day in 100 degree weather, and we just looked
and like rain. I mean, it poured on us on the way over on top of it.
Yes, we looked like we had been in the park all day. So anyways, but dang, I still, every time we talk about this, I regret not having
We need
this
that picture.
Photos.
I know.
What was wrong with us? If nothing else, this would have been great to show everybody else. But anyways, you know, I think that's a good choice. And they really have some outstanding food available at that buffet in general. So I think it's a great place to start the day.
All right. So we have two character meals so far, both on the monorail. Ricky, where are you going?
I am actually going to Whispering Canyon. I think it's just a lot of fun. You've got the pony rides. You've got the ketchup. You've got just tons of fun. You can choose to interact and play if you want to or not. I don't know why you wouldn't, but hey, some, you know, teach their own, I guess. So it's so much fun. The food is really good. You got the skillet, or you can choose a la carte options, or you can, you know, they have great meals for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I just really think that it, and plus it's at the Wilderness Lodge. Hello. That is totally the best place to go. It is one of our favorites. So that is why you need to go there. Mic drop.
That's it. Yep. See you later. All right, Courtney. So let us know how it goes. Again, always follow up. Give, you know, send a follow up into Mike@BeOurGuestPodcast.com, because we love finding out, you know, what happened. Because many times it's something we didn't say and it was the best thing ever. And I love hearing that because, you know, it's Walt Disney World's all about discovery, you know, and some of those best memories are things that you never even considered. That's what I love about the place. All right, next question comes from Evelyn Rodriguez. She says, "Hi, Mike, Ricky, Debbie, and Pam. I'm a proud third-generation Disney super-duper fan. I'm originally from Los Angeles, California, and now live in Arlington, Texas. Being from California, I consider Disneyland was my home park. My grandpa used to take my dad to Disneyland at least once a year since he was a kid, and my dad kept that tradition going with my sisters and I. My dad would take us to Disneyland at least twice a year. When we got older, we all got the annual pass, and it was the best investment ever. I miss just being able to go whenever the mood struck. I have very fond memories of my dad getting off work on Friday nights and telling us, 'Girls, put on your Mickey ears. Let's go grab some dinner at Disneyland and watch the fireworks.' He is a true Disney kid at heart. Anyway, I have always dreamed of going to Disney World ever since I was a little girl, and my wish came true when my parents surprised my sisters and I back in 2009. It was amazing. I literally cried when I saw the castle from the ferry boat. It was completely magical. This summer will be our fourth time going, and I'm super excited. I'm a bona fide Disney nerd and love researching about all things Disney. I totally dive into vacation planning. It's so much fun for me. It'll be our second time staying on site, and we'll be at Port Orleans Riverside in mid-July. I can't wait. My sister is a teacher, so our only option this year was to go during summertime. I have a couple questions for you all. How do you all handle the summer heat? Do you have any tips or tricks? How is the Disney bus transportation during the summer at Port Orleans Riverside? My 10-year-old niece will be going as well, and it will be her first time. Any advice on how to incorporate brakes so she won't overheat or get overstimulated? Sorry for the long email, but I just discovered the Wonderful World of Disney podcasts, and I've binge listened to almost all of your episodes."
Oh my goodness.
That's a lot at this point. That's
wow.
That's crazy.
You get a gold star.
That's it.
Wow.
We're almost at 900. I feel like I've truly struck gold. It makes me reminisce for my many family trips and brings me so much genuine joy. Other than the awesome Be Our Guest, what are some of y'all's favorite Disney podcast stations? I can tell by your voices you all truly love what you do. I have to write in and send my positive, magical Disney vibes your way. You make my workday much more pleasant, and I get that needed Disney magic fix. Thank you so much for what you do. Sincerely, Evelyn. Man, we love hearing stuff like that, though, because I can tell, you know, Evelyn, you got it. you were born into it, basically, because of your grandpa and your dad. And how cool is like that just that sentence of, you know, dad rolling in on a Friday after work and put on the ears. We're heading to Disneyland. That's where we're having, you know, it's like we're going to Las Fuentes. No, we're going to Disneyland, going to ride a couple rides and have dinner. I mean, that is exact Walt smiling right now here in that email. I can tell you that much. So yep. Pretty cool to hear. So. Of course, we didn't get this one quite in time because we were on the cruise, but I was at Riverside at the same time, and the bus service was great. But let's get the tips for surviving the heat, because it is still going to be hot down at Walt Disney World for the next few months. I mean, it cools off other places a little bit earlier, but it'll be hot well into October. So, Pam, what would you offer up? Especially, she has a 10-year-old niece. She's worried about, you know, getting overstimulated and overheated in the summer. So what would you do?
I think the best, and this is a technique that we use all the time when we're there in the summer, you really have to stop yourself from getting hot before you get hot. And what I mean is you have to do something outside for a little while and then do something inside or at least somewhere where you can cool off for a little while instead of just pushing and doing one more thing or one more thing or one more thing and then thinking, oh, we'll take a break after this. Because I think once you get really hot, especially in the summer, it's so hard to cool down when you're there. It just becomes impossible. And if you take little breaks along the way, I don't think you really feel that effect nearly as much. Of course, all the things that are important, drink water and whatnot, but one of the things that we did too is we had Tervis bottles. We would bring in bottled water with us, but I also brought in a Tervis bottle full of ice that we got at the resort before we left for the day. And it really helped us throughout the day because we could buy more water bottles, which never seemed to be cold enough during the summer. I don't know what goes on there, but and add them to our existing ice. And if we ran out of ice, then we could just stop at a counter service and they will give you a cup of ice for free. So then we'd add the ice in and then keep buying the water bottles. So that really helped us as well. You know, and plus you could look at one of those awesome Bondi bands that the BOGP Lizards have available, right?
Yes.
Yep. So I think that's a cool thing. So lots of stuff there. I've also seen, you know, and I sometimes when I see them, I'm kind of jealous. The little personal handheld fans, like not the huge big ones with the squirt bottles that you can buy there, but these are just little tiny ones that I've seen at different places that you can get. And every time I see them, I think, oh, dang it, why didn't I buy one of those before we came? Because I think just like if I was sitting in Tiki Room, like I'd pull out that little fan because they're silent and just soak up the air conditioning and use that little fan to at least cool my face off. So anyways, those always look cool to me too.
My biggest tip real quick is just don't be in the parks between like 1 and 5, because if you're there in July, the park hours are crazy long. You can definitely find something to do. And the best thing you can do is be swimming or napping during that time, because every time that I stick it out and I'm like, oh, we're going to see Festival of Fantasy at 3 o'clock at the Magic Kingdom. As cool as that parade is, I love the parade, but it's like, oh man, from like 1 to 3 before the parade, it's just kids crying and people overheated. It's like, it's the worst behavior you'll find. And it's not terrible behavior, but it's the worst behavior you'll find at a Disney park. It's always that mid-afternoon. People are hungry. They're tired. They're pressing on too hard. And you're paying money to stay at a beautiful resort like Riverside. Get back there and enjoy that pool, you know, rest in your room, walk around the gift shop, you know, explore the resort, get in the shade. There's hammocks there, you know, use a hammock, but just don't be in the parks midday. So Ricky, what would you offer up?
I think you guys pretty much got everything that I was going to suggest. The only thing that I have is, and I know I look like a complete moron when I do it, but you know what? I don't care because it helps. I carry my umbrella with me because you know it's going to rain, but if I get too overheated, if that sun is just beating down on me, I will seriously bust out the umbrella and walk around with it because I don't care. I will grab a glass of water from any of the, you know, counter service restaurants, walk around with my umbrella, and I will be perfectly happy. So that's my only other suggestion.
Does it become a parasol at that point, or is it still an umbrella?
I don't know if I'm lady enough to have it be a parasol.
I heard somebody say on my last trip when we were back there last month that because I was getting one of those my favorite over at Sleepy Hollow. I was getting my chicken and waffle sandwich that I always get. And you know how there's that cart right next to it that sells the parasols? You know, it's yes. Like it's like towards the Hall of Presidents.
Somebody's
like, somebody's like, we need to get one of those umbrellas. It's starting to look like it's getting ready to rain. And I'm thinking, I don't think those are umbrellas, but
no.
I didn't say anything because I'm a Hoosier, and you know, I shouldn't say Hoosier. Because I know all my friends in Indiana are getting on me. I didn't mean Hoosier. We got in Missouri. That's what we call it. But I'm working on that. All right. Time for the last question of the day that we're going to get to, giving away 3 Disney gift cards from virtualmickey.com. Last question comes from, looks like Katie. And she says, hey, Mike, Ricky, Debbie and Pam, I'm planning a surprise trip for my husband in September. It has been impossible to keep a secret. We will see how secret it is when the magic bands arrive.
Hope he's not listening to this.
Exactly. And I realize we'll be there for the first night of Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party. I only had a certain number of park tickets. I decided to splurge on resorts and food this time, Yacht Club and the Contemporary, and I do not have a park ticket for the day of the Halloween party. It is our arrival date. I would love to go. I've heard it's one of the better hard ticket events, but I'm wondering if I need to buy another park ticket for this event, or does the event ticket itself qualify for us to get into the Magic Kingdom? Thank you so much for your help. I love the show. I just discovered it a couple months ago, and I've been listening to all of your episodes nonstop.
Wow, another one. You get a gold star too.
You know what? People don't do that. That is
a lot of us.
The Surgeon General of the United States has warned against listening to more than 5 shows a week. Even though we don't mind you downloading them, do not overdose. I did that one time on Leo Laporte, and I started talking like, hey, it's the tech guy, you know, so don't.
We're happy that you don't talk like that.
Dr. Kai gets it. Get back to work. Break time is over. Just kidding. That's one of his lines. And I use it on here sometimes. So anyway, let me tell you, you're doing it right, man. Yacht Club in the Contemporary. You got an Epcot area resort. You got a monorail resort. Your husband is a lucky man. And let us know how it goes when the magic bands arrive. Yeah, we just decided to buy some jewelry here, you know. This is all, but they're just
hope he doesn't get the mail first.
Exactly. It's like, yeah, because they're kind of hard to hide. But anyway, for the answer to her question for the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party is that you can buy a hard ticket for this event and you can get into the park at 4 o'clock and enjoy the park from 4 o'clock on. You do not need a Magic Your Way ticket for that day.
Magic Your Day Way.
But yeah, you will not need to use one of your Magic Your Way tickets to get into the park that day. What I would do is just, I think she said it is her arrival date. Just, because you don't want to do too much on your arrival day. You don't want to rush it. So, you know, get there, get settled in your hotel, grab a meal. You're at Yacht Club. Go down to someplace like Beaches and Cream, get an ice cream, or, you know, just head over to ESPN Club on the boardwalk or get a pizza from the, I've heard that pizza at the takeout window over at, what's the new Italian place over there? I forget the name of it.
Al
Forno.
Yeah, that's it.
So I've heard they got great takeout pizza. Grab one of those, or maybe just go in and have a meal there, and head over to the Magic Kingdom 4 o'clock. Get the party, and you're good to go. And it is a great. I enjoy the party. I think everybody should give it a shot. So I think you're a Disney fan. You would love it. So have a good time. September's next month. Holy cow. The Halloween party will be starting here not too, like in probably like 30 days. Can you believe that?
No.
What happened? Maybe. All right, so Friday we're going to talk about the Food and Wine Festival. So we're going to do a preview of that. So stay tuned for that. But right now, instead of doing an ad read from virtualmickey.com, we're going to do something better for you. We're going to give away 3 Disney gift cards. And the way this is going to work is that you will have to identify the bogus story or the bogus headline out of the 4 that Ricky is going to read in just a minute. And the way it's going to work is that you need to send an email to mike@brguestpodcast.com. In the title, put VM Contest for Virtual Mickey, VM Contest, and then just put your answer in there, and I will let you know if you win. So we're going to take the first 3 correct answers. The first correct answer that gets submitted gets the $30 gift card. Second one gets $20. Third one gets $10. And again, this is courtesy of virtualmickey.com, celebrating over 50,000 news stories read on Theme Park News, Disney Edition, the free app for your iOS device. That's pretty incredible. I've read a lot of those, so I can tell you that. And Ricky's written quite a few of those. So
I have written quite a few of them that pop up. That
so we're doing our part here, too, on the show, I'm just saying. So, Ricky, lay four on us, and your job is to pick out the, as Pam calls it, the balderdash story. Or the, no, what did you say? Shenanigans story.
Shenanigans story.
Whatever. Right. The one that is not true, send that to me, VM contest in the subject line, mike@brguestpodcast.com. Go ahead, Ricky.
All right. Story one. Pizzafari closing for refurbishment later this month. Story 2. Tower of Terror to close for Halloween overlay. Story 3. Rumor. Walt Disney's One Man's Dream and Voyage of the Little Mermaid to close in September. Story 4. Adam Sandler and family visit Walt Disney World.
All right, so there they are. So again, the first three correct answers to mike@brguestpodcast.com. Please do put VM contest in the subject line and tell me which one you think is the non-true story, the fictional story, as it were, and we'll give out some Disney gift cards. And stay tuned to Twitter, because once I get the three answers, I'm going to tweet out that we have our three answers so that my email doesn't keep getting blown up for the next 6 months, because we will have them rather quickly. I have an idea. All right, so that does it for today's Listener Question Show. Send in your questions to mike@brguestpodcast.com. Send up follow-ups, the miniature reports, all this stuff. We love reading your thoughts here on the air. And don't forget, check out Magical Mouse Radio for great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. MagicalMouseRadio.com. Give us a follow on Twitter. We're at Be Our Guest Mike. We're on Facebook at Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And of course, join the friendliest forums on the internet at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/forums. Do your part. Be a patriot. Leave a review on iTunes and Stitcher. That's what we all do here. We appreciate that so much. We actually had a record number of downloads last Friday, and that's because new people are finding the show, and it's because of great reviews. I know. We were up there, number four spot on iTunes Travel and Places on Friday.
Awesome.
And that's because we got a lot of buzz. We got reviews. We got ratings and all that good stuff. So if you haven't done that in a while, we'd really, really appreciate that. And to everybody who has done that, thank you so much for taking the time to leave those kind words. All right, we're going to get out of here and be back with you again on Friday. And we're going to talk a preview of the 2015 Food and Wine Festival down at Epcot to get everybody ready, because I don't know if you know this, but 3 months from this coming weekend, it is the Wine and Dine Half Marathon Weekend, where we're all going to get back together again and do some running in the middle of the night. It's going to be a lot of fun. Please don't rain this year. We'll see how it goes. All right. So for Ricky, Debbie, and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Thanks so much for checking in. Now it's time to get back to work. We'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.